Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as once again we face the issues. Looking forward to a lively dialogue and discussion today on the issue we're speaking of. What is Christian nationalism? Is anything wrong with Christian nationalism? Should we be in favor of Christian nationalism? We're going to talk about that today. It's a very, very interesting subject, one that I believe that is appropriate at this time. Lest I forget it, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion. I'm looking at a headline article. We'll touch on it. Christian nationalism on the rise in some GOP campaigns. The Victory Party took on the fuel of an evangelical worship service after Doug Mastriano won Pennsylvania's Republicans gubernatorial primary this month. As a Christian singer led the crowd in song, some raised their arms toward the heavens in praise to God. Mastriano opened his remarks by evoking scripture. Quote, God uses the foolish to confound the wise. He claimed Pennsylvania's freedom would be snatched away if his Democratic opponent wins in November and casts the election in starkly religious terms with another biblical reference. Let's choose this day to serve the Lord, he said, end quote. Mastriano, a state senator and retired Army colonel, has not only made faith central to his personal story, but has woven conservative Christian beliefs and symbols into the entire campaign, becoming the most prominent example this election cycle of what some observers call a surge of Christian nationalism among Republican candidates, end quote. We'll look at that article a little further during the course of this broadcast. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's far too long as Christians and as conservatives and patriots that we've allowed the media and the politicians and the lost world to have the narrative and carry the narrative of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about that. The mics are open right after my brief monologue, inviting you to join in the dialogue and discussion. Should we talk about Jesus in a campaign? Should we talk about God? Should we read Scripture? Should we, as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, stand on what we believe in relationship to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? I believe that's the challenge of the hour, and I believe that's what this mantra from the media is speaking of. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know early on, Christian nationalism is not, that's maybe a term that's used today, but that's not what our founding fathers called that we are calling today the fundamental foundation of a Judeo-Christian value system in America. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. I call it the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus says, I am truth. And further, he makes a declarative statement and says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to effectuate change in our lives. It's the truth in the Word of God that we ought to use as the mantra and the mandate and the modus operandi for our life and for our living each and every day. The truth of the Word of God ought to form in us a central biblicist worldview that all that we see happening in the world, including, ladies and gentlemen, these constant shootings, the mass murders, the killings in Chicago and in New York and across America. It should cause us to look at all of those things through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Is this something that God has already said would happen? Is this something that's kind of a fluke in the narrative of humanity? How should we view it? If we look at it through the prism of the word of God, we can understand that it's the wicked heart that's causing these things to take place. But yet we have those in society, especially in some of our loose-likes-lost liberals that's on the left that somehow have the mindset that we need to control guns. But ladies and gentlemen, as you'll find during the course of this broadcast, as we face the issues today, we're talking about the need to bring in more, if they want to call it that, we need to bring in more Christian nationalism into the conversation in America today, especially into the political arena. But ladies and gentlemen, that's talking about truth. And truth today is not sought after. Truth today is rejected, remonstrated against, and refused as much as possible. In fact, it was the secularist George Orwell that made the statement in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, written back in the late 40s. And Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that precisely taking place in our nation today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warned America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Let me just read you a brief paragraph from his major statement on that subject. I'm quoting from former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said it any better. We have left the truth book. We've left the Word of God. We have denied Bible in the classroom. We've refused prayer in the classroom. We've refused to have a pledge even to the flag, the United States of America, in the classroom. We're going to talk about that and a number of other things today that literally dovetail into this subject of what is Christian nationalism and should we be viewed as Christian nationalists, as Christians, conservatives, and as patriots today. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And so I challenge you, ladies and gentlemen, each and every day on this broadcast, and that's what we need to do, is to seek the truth, and you won't find it on the Communist Network News. We need to listen to the truth. You won't even find full truth on the Fox Network News. We need to learn the truth, and you can't learn the truth, ladies and gentlemen, by burying your head in the sand and pretending these things don't happen. You can't learn the truth and stay tuned to the Communist Network News. You'll never learn truth in that fashion. We need to love the truth and tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe there's coming a day, and I believe it's very, very soon, that we as Christians, we as Christian conservatives, we as patriotic conservative Christians, are going to have to be in a position of standing to defend the truth, even if it means death. Now, you might say, well, I just don't believe that'll happen in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on the fast track for that. When you look at what the Biden administration is doing, when you look at what is taking place with through China and Russia, when you see what is happening with the food famine that's on the very horizon, when we see what's happening when we cannot afford to buy a gallon of gasoline to put in the tank to go to work for most across America today, and we understand that all of this is being blamed on the Christians in general, we'll talk about that in this broadcast. The reason it is such a serious broadcast today is we talk about this very serious issue about Christian nationalism. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to stand for truth and understand that truth can only be found in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment with homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The Tools for Time staff can answer all of your questions for the professional as well as for the homeowner for the lawn care equipment for your need. Tools for Time is located, ladies and gentlemen, at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. Tools for Time is located on a campus with a gigantic flag, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, U.S. flag flowing 24-7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is closed on Sunday. This allows the Tools for Time staff to be off on Sundays to worship in the house of God with the children of God as God intended it for the family. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Make your application for employment and wait for an interview and see what God does in placing you in the home and with the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that it's time that we wake up, speak up, be heard, be seen as Christians. I believe it's time we stop sitting back in silence and simply letting the socialist Marxist media and the left carry the narrative of the day. It is something that we must do if we're going to realize any, winning of the battle, or if we're going to realize any modicum of time before our constitutional republic is absolutely gone. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, for too long, Christians and conservatives and patriots, we've allowed this loose, lax, lost, liberal, socialist, Marxist, communist, BLM, Democratic Party to carry the media, carry the mindset, and to be allowed to carry the, however you please, the conversation, the, ladies and gentlemen, the narrative that's being carried today. Puts the Christian, the conservative, and the patriot in a position of being a second-class citizen. The secular world's narrative is that conservatives and Christians and patriots are not allowed to have a voice in society. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it ironic when you find in Psalms chapter 146 and verse 2, put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no hope. And yet we, year after year, election cycle after election cycle, wind up putting our faith and trust in political leaders and thinking that somehow, some way, they will deliver us from the evil one. Ladies and gentlemen, the only deliverance we're going to have is that deliverance that's carried out by the power of God in the life of the child of God in the world in which we're living today. It's an impossibility, ladies and gentlemen, to do otherwise. We fail to follow the leadership direction as to what is needed in finding a political leader, and we search in the wrong places for the wrong thing and do not have the right attitude and what needs to be done in the election process. I'm looking at a text here, ladies and gentlemen. It's in Exodus chapter 18, and it's in verse 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them over as rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very, very clear in that text. It says able men. That means capable. So those that we vote for in this election cycle, those that we vote for in each election cycle, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that the Word of God gives us the, if you please, the ingredients that's necessary. The Word of God gives us the qualifications that we need to look for. Able men, that is to have capability. Having the knowledge of the Word of God, having knowledge of what God's Word says. And as that, as such, ladies and gentlemen, it will be not only those that are capable, but those that also are competent. Having the wisdom, proven capability to carry out the oath of office, proven capability to carry out and show that they're qualified to serve. And it says, such as fear God. That means we need to elect people, ladies and gentlemen, that have reverence for God. To fear, that means to reverence. One whose life is governed by God's word. One whose life shows respect for God. I believe that is a vital need in society today, perhaps more than ever in the history of the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen. We need to find those that have these capabilities and obey the Scripture in placing them in office. Must have a good character. The Scripture says, men of truth. That means having reputation, known to be honest, not liars, not Sussman-style attorneys that represents Hillary Clinton that's now been found to lie to Congress. And to understand in the John Durham trial, ladies and gentlemen, with Sussman on trial, perhaps you've not heard that because not on the Communist Network News. Very little is said by the Fox News about it. But ladies and gentlemen, it's been proven in the court of law in the past month in that trial that Hillary Rodham Clinton bought and paid for the garbage that was called the Russia connection with Trump, destroyed his opportunity to carry out what God had placed him in office for because of that one factor. It's a Clinton problem. It is a Communist Network news problem. It is a problem with leaving the Christian in a position and the conservative in a position that's viewed as a second-class citizen. The Scripture says, men of truth. That means reputation, reliability, trusting the Word of God, trusting in God, one who can not just take a job because he's been put in a position to do so, because he's capable. Having, the Scripture says, hating covetousness, that is not grasping, not greedy, not going into office because of some way of enriching himself or herself in doing so. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, what is Christian nationalism? And Christian nationalism means that in every walk of life, everything that we do, that the Lord Jesus Christ must be exalted. Christian nationalism, by the way, is a term that's being used in a derogatory fashion. It's not a term that you find in the Scripture. It's not a term that was found with our founding fathers. It's not a term that would be found in relationship to a complementary thing for the Christian. But ladies and gentlemen, it's what we're being called today, Christian nationalism. Ladies and gentlemen, today's woke cancel culture is operating on the basis that somehow, some way, that Christians and conservatives and those that are standing for God and praying and asking God to give wisdom, that somehow, some way, that we're the bad guys. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the socialist, Marxist, communist on the left today. All the politicians and those on the Communist Network News today are wringing their hands and screaming, gun control, saying that it's a mental health issue because of our lack of school security, because of the recent murders of the 21 people in the elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. But ladies and gentlemen, you'll notice none of the talking heads are discussing the moral, ethical vacuum that's in America today. And yet we have a few candidates, a few politicians, if you want to call them that, a few that's running for office today that's willing to name Jesus and to praise him and to talk about spiritual things. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're finding that is being cast today as Christian nationalism. Let me just read you a brief paragraph from this article. Christian nationalism on the rise in some GOP campaigns. I'll read this brief statement, then we'll take our next caller. This article says, scholars generally define Christian nationalism as going beyond policy debates and championing a fusion of American and Christian values and symbols and identity. Christian nationalism, they say, is often accompanied by, Christian nationalism, they say, is often accompanied by a belief in God, that the God has destined America, like the biblical Israel, for a special role in history, and that it will receive divine blessing or divine judgment depending on our obedience to God. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know who made that statement, but that's what some of those that scholars have called it, and it's on target, because I believe that God has destined America to be a symbol, a shining city on a hill, as Reagan called it, for the world to see that we are a Judeo-Christian nation and that we still depend on God. We've come so far from that today, ladies and gentlemen. If you speak about God in a public arena, if you pray in Jesus' name, then now we're being called a Christian nationalist. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for the balance of this broadcast, we're talking about that in view of what has taken place with the shootings, what is happening, what is the problem, what is the responsibility that we have as Christians, and where do we go from here? I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question, comment, please.
Yes.
Good morning. Hello. I hope you're well.
Yes, you also. I just want to say this one thing, or two. If you don't learn your history, you're doomed to repeat it.
That's right.
You're letting Black Lives Matter and Antifa tear down the statues. Learn your history. You have to learn your history.
Exactly right.
Well, yeah, it's pathetic. That administration has to get out.
Well, brother, I'm praying every day that God will remove the empty suit that's in the White House that's called the president. I'm praying that God will replace him in some fashion. I'm praying that in the upcoming fall election, that somehow, some way, God will intervene and give us a respite in some fashion, that we'll have some in office that can turn the ship around before the ship continues to sink as it is today. But, Kenneth, all we can do is keep praying. We cannot make it happen. God is the one that's responsible for that. All we can do is continue to pray and seek the face of God, confessing our sins and ask God to heal our land. That's a good paraphrase of 2 Chronicles 7:14.
And you know, I want to say one more thing.
Go right ahead.
You know what? I don't know if Trump was a Christian or not, but since Eisenhower, no other president put our embassy in Jerusalem and knew that that's their country.
That was one of the best moves that he made, because it was identifying Israel as being their nation, their country. And by the way, in 1995, the U.S. Embassy Act was passed, and it stated in that act, it was signed by the president, it was inculcated in, or it was approved in the House and the Senate. And the U.S. Embassy Act made the statement that the embassy was going to be put in Jerusalem. And all the presidents, after that was signed in, dilly-dallied around, refused to do so. Barack Obama
yeah.
did. William Jefferson Clinton did not. And so when it comes time for Donald J. Trump, he just simply followed what the law said.
I'm a black man. I'm in my 60s, going on 67. And I grew up through Jim Crow. But you learn from your history.
Yes, sir.
You do not destroy your history, because you're going to be doomed to repeat it.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. You're spot on with your statements. And I believe that there needs to be, and my position is, may your tribe increase. We need more that will take that stand. And God doesn't see skin color. God's looking at the heart. God's looking at the life. God's looking at what we're doing in relationship to honoring him, trusting him, obeying him, and taking his word to heart and being obedient to his word. So, brother, keep on looking up. Lift up your heads. The scripture says our redemption draws nigh, and we need to be obedient to what the word of God says. Kenneth, God bless you today, brother. Thank you for calling.
And I get my Social Security check, I'm going to start donating to you.
Yes, sir. Keep doing that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you for that, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, what is Christian nationalism? That's what we're being called today. We're being called Christian nationalists. What does that mean? Is that good or is that bad? Are we truly Christian nationalists? Can we look at it on that basis and think that somehow, some way, that is a derogatory statement, or is it a compliment to us? It's meant to be a derogatory statement, but I believe it should be a compliment for us to understand and realize what is being said and what is being done in relationship to that. Ladies and gentlemen, in fact, it was the movement that is in place today that continues to make that statement. Here's an article that says, a movement known as Christian nationalism is making its presence known in many of the Republican GOP races. Let me continue to read you a few tidbits from this article. It says in this article, that often overlaps with the conservative Christian political agenda, including opposition to abortion, same-sex marriage, transgender rights, and it goes on to talk about what researchers found. And it says here in Idaho, the gubernatorial hopeful, Lieutenant Governor Janice McEachin, the former spoke of spiritual battle on Capitol Hill and needs to, and the need for strong, quote, God-fearing patriots. The latter was photographed holding a Bible and a gun and said, God calls us to pick up the sword and fight, and Christ will reign in the state of Idaho. Here's another statement in this article. The U.S. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, representative in Georgia, who uses biblical phrases to be a watchman on the wall. And she says, against those seeking to destroy our faith, easily won her primary, the article says. Watchers of Christian nationalism consider Mastriano's win in a rout, that is a major battle and a major win, with 44% in the crowd. Crowded field despite opposition from the state party establishment. Mastriano has called the separation of church and state simply a myth, end quote. After his victory, the comment section in his campaign, he said, praise Jesus. God is smiling on us. He's sending his blessings. Thank you, Father God, he said. It's literally good versus evil. There's no room for compromise. So that's the threat of democracy, as one says in this article. Ladies and gentlemen, further in the article, it says, Pastor Tim Thompson of 412 Church in Mastriani, California, who's host TV U-Channel with more than 9,600 subscribers and envisions a conservative future for the state, recently started a political action committee aiming at taking our schools back and giving parents authority over the curriculum. Quote, we don't want teachers or any other adult talking to our kids about sex, Thompson said. We don't want teachers categorizing our kids into oppressed or oppressors categories. Those are not political issues. They are moral and biblical issues, and it's time Christians take our schools back. Further, he says, Judeo-Christian values are the foundations of America. People, quote, people are afraid to speak up for these values because they're afraid that the left is going to slap a label like racist or Christian nationalism on them. Thompson said, I don't care about those labels because my wife, my children, my church, my community all know who I am, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've set the stage. We've set the table in relationship to that. So do you believe that Christian nationalism is okay? Do you believe that we need to be Christian nationalists in the society in which we're living in? Simply Christian nationalism, talking about that we take a stand for Jesus wherever we are. We take a biblical, I call it a central biblicist worldview. I don't need to call it a Christian nationalist or nationalism, but it's a central biblicist worldview. That is taking what the Word of God says, bringing it into the category of professionalism or political lifestyle or in whatever profession that we're doing, wherever we work, we need to be sure that we understand that if we've said yes to Jesus Christ, that we're blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, that we're going to take a stand for Jesus. We're not going to be ashamed of the gospel. We're not going to be ashamed to stand and say, thus saith the Word of God. And so I want you to know today that I compliment every politician, everyone that's running for a political office, and I compliment them for standing for their faith in Jesus Christ in a public arena without fear and without intimidation. I believe that it is necessary for those that we place in office to take a stand, a firm stand for the Judeo-Christian values that our founding fathers gave us. I think it's time to say no to the loose likes, lost liberals and their narrative, that we've allowed them to carry the narrative for too long. When it comes to the political arena, the mindset is that you can't say anything about God. You can't say anything about Jesus. You need to be quiet about being a conservative. You need to stop talking about these biblical issues and simply take the wishy-washy stand of what is called compromise in the political world. Ladies and gentlemen, compromise is sin, and therefore it has no place in the Christian life if we're going to say we want to run for office and want Christians, conservatives, and patriots to vote for that one that's running. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, what Christian nationalism means. It is simply the derogatory term that's been given to we believers as conservatives today because we stand for Jesus in the public arena. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We're going to have a one-minute top-of-the-hour news right after the news. We'll be right back as we face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.